D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Spiritual warfare is being waged all around you. Do you know whether or not you're in the battle and how you might be affected in ways you're not even aware of? Find out on today's Truths That Transform. As Christians, we know that outside the visible world, there are supernatural forces at work, battling over the future of all creation. While God is ultimately sovereign over it, this battle, which is a battle between good and evil, is real, and you and I have a part in it. But we need to understand the lay of the battlefield. On today's program, we'll take a look at one of our most powerful cultural battlegrounds, Hollywood. You'll hear about some of the good things happening in the entertainment field today, as well as some of the extraordinary dangers to watch out for. And we will share an essential resource with you that will help you see inside the supernatural battle between good and evil, angels and demons. We begin our look at the entertainment industry with Ted Baer, one of the leading voices in the church examining faith in films. I recently had a chance to sit down and talk with Dr. Baer about some of the good developments we have seen in feature films in recent years. Ted, thanks for being with us. We're delighted to have you. You've been a great friend of this ministry over the years. Delighted to have you back.
Well, it's great to see you, and it's great to be back. It's wonderful.
What a great year, great couple of years we've had for Christian films, especially this year that we're in. There's going to be so many films coming out. I know that you're working behind the scenes on a great many of them. And yet, the portrayal of Christians in television and in film still has the shadow of ridicule and persecution oftentimes, too. What have you seen in the sweep of your years of working in Hollywood and looking at television and in that respect?
Well, television and film are two totally different worlds, and that's hard for the average viewer to pay attention.
Understand.
Film is totally box office driven. In other words, when you go to the box office and you pay for a ticket, you're voting at the box office.
Yeah.
So the New York Times had a very angry article last June saying that Hollywood is not pro-choice, because they're making more pro-life films. I mean, the biggest film of the animated movies last year, Home, all of those are pro-life movies.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing is true with sexual perversion. Those don't make it. And the reason is that we do this detailed economic analysis of the box office, and of the top 10 films, 90% of them have a Christian worldview. None of them are rated R, and none of them are anti-American.
Brent Bozell, whom you know,
who I love,
as we do as well, studied over a long period of time, only on television, I think, the treatment of characters that were religious, particularly pastors. Pastors took it worse. You know, they were always philanderers, hypocrites, and so on. And his research shows a continuing progression towards a hostile treatment of Christian figures in television. My question for you is, with respect to that, is so that's the trend in television, and it's driven by a different economic model, but what are you seeing in film in terms of the treatment?
I mean, you always have, now even in silly movies, you know, like Captain America, you've got him coming down in a cross position, you've got the Bible, and they're swearing on the Bible, you've got a Bible verse on the headstone of the, you know, the cemetery. All of those movies now have some, and the head of Legendary Pictures, who does a lot of that, I had him speak at NRB last year. He's Jewish, he's not Christian, although he's moving in our direction. He gets all our reports. He says, the way I design my films is to look at your report to the entertainment industry, and I see that I can do better if I can get Superman to go to church to take a leap of faith. So this is a wonderful thing. If you saw the where we're talking right now, not when you people are watching, your wonderful audience out there, we're going to have the head of the third biggest finance house in Hollywood. Now, he wouldn't be here if he didn't think that this was a big marketplace.
So they're finally paying attention to your research. You've presented your economic analysis for decades now, and yet some producers and Hollywood executives continue to make the most awful films, especially in the religious arena.
I can explain the nature of Hollywood in another way. In Hollywood, you've got two groups. You've got the six major studios. They produce 40% of the movies. They produce, their average movie cost is $103 million. On the other hand, 60% of the movies comes from independents. And independents make movies for a different reason. It used to be all the independents were sort of swarmy, you know, left-wing, which I used to be before I came to Christ. The guys that had an agenda, hardcore agenda, like Michael Moore. The good news is that many of these independents now, based in Nashville, where we're taping right now, are people who are trying to communicate the good news, Provident Films, Affirm Films, and those people have grown.
Well, we're certainly thankful for your faithfulness in serving this generation of filmmakers that are trying to make a difference in the culture for Christ. Thanks for being with us, Ted. God bless you, brother.
Thank you. Love you, man. You're wonderful.
For all the good things it does, Hollywood also has had such a strong negative effect in America, even upon Christians. This is largely because too many lack spiritual insight, the ability to see the spiritual reality behind what seems to be happening. They don't discern the invisible war being waged over our nation and over our souls. Dr. D. James Kennedy certainly saw it, and he helps us to see it too in this portion of his message, Angels on Assignment.
I'm sure that every reader of the Bible is familiar with the great encounter at Dothan between Elisha and the hosts of the Syrians. The Syrian army, having a forced march by night, had surrounded the entire city of Dothan. And there were thousands of troops and horses and chariots. At least the king of Syria had a respect for this prophet, because all of that was sent against one man. Even as Queen Mary said she'd rather face 10,000 ships than John Knox, the reformer of Scotland. And when the servant of Elisha arose the next morning early to prepare for the day, he walked out, and to his horror and surprise, he saw the thousands of the Syrian hosts surrounding the city. And he rushed back into the house and brought out his master, and he said, "Alas, master, how shall we do?" Now, some, in reading that, might pass over it quickly and not see much in there for them, not supposing that they are at any time likely to be surrounded by a foreign army. Ah, but not so quickly, my friend. There are great treasures buried here. We would not want to pass by without picking them up. It's an interesting contrast between the distraught, alarmed, and disconsolate servant of Elisha and Elisha the prophet himself. He was completely at ease. He was calm. He was not afraid. And he said to his astonished servant, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Now, no doubt to the servant, that was utterly astonishing. There was no one. They were alone, facing a vast host of a foreign army, completely surrounded. There was no escape. What could he possibly mean? And then Elisha prayed. Now, what did he pray? He prayed, "Oh God, help me. Oh Lord, I am your servant. I have followed you. Now I'm alone and surrounded. Deliver me." He didn't pray any such thing as that. He prayed, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." You see, the problem was very simply a matter of sight. And God opened his eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was filled with horses and chariots of fire, which surrounded Elisha. and no living thing could have passed through that ring of fire. Elisha had nothing to fear. Now, what a glorious story that is. It's a story about what is really at the very heart of the Christian faith, a story of spiritual vision, because that's essentially what Christianity is. In fact, you know, unbelievers like to describe somebody who has been converted with those very words. He has seen the light. Well, they're not far amiss, because Jesus said in John 3, except a man be born again, he can not only not enter into the kingdom of God, he can't even see the kingdom of God. That's the problem in America today. Half our population is blind. They do not see spiritual things. The world says, seeing is believing. But the Bible teaches, believing is seeing. And when God enables us to trust in Jesus Christ, we begin to see things that we have never seen before. Have you entered into that spiritual vision? Have your eyes been opened? Or do you still wander in the darkness? Yes, spiritual vision is something which is vitally important, as the servant of Elisha discover. The sight that that young man received of God's messengers revealed that they were, one, ever near, they were, two, most near when most needed, and also that they come in the form most needed. They are warriors when we are encircled by hostile foes. They are counselors when we are perplexed. They are comforters when we mourn. Their shapes are as varied as our needs and ever correspond to the present distress. How true that is. Now, though most of us are not likely to be surrounded by Syrian hosts, we all have our own appointment at Dothan. Ah, dear friend, not only at those times when the Syrian comes down like a wolf on the prey, but in all times of life, that we might have the joy of the Christian life, that we might have that intimate communion and fellowship with Christ, that we might see him in all of his grace and all of his love. Pray, oh God, open my eyes that I may see, and ask that God may give you a vision of chariots of fire.
Knowing what's happening in the spiritual realm is vital for understanding the world around you. In a few minutes, we'll tell you about a valuable, even essential, new resource that will help strengthen your spiritual vision. But first, we continue our look at the spiritual effect Hollywood is having on you, your family, and our nation. Despite the bad news we're all aware of, there is some good news on the movie front that isn't as well known. Jerry Newcomb takes a closer look.
In 2004, Mel Gibson proved through his movie, The Passion of the Christ, that there were millions of potential Christian moviegoers who had, for the most part, given up on the cinema. Today, God seems to be at work in the movies, mostly through independently produced and released films.
See, Mommy? God really does love us.
He does, baby.
Well, the number of faith-based movies coming to theaters has increased year by year. I remember when I got started with this, really back in around 2006, and there was maybe a few a year that I would hear about, two or three. Now there's well over a dozen, 15, even more, every year.
The body has vanished.
His tomb is empty.
Where has he gone?
You tell me.
Already there, proclaiming him risen from death.
I hate what people like your client stand for. We're going to prove once and for all that God is dead.
I think he needs us as much as we need him.
I don't know how this thing you have with God works exactly, but I like what it does.
I think God is definitely at work in using the cinema to reach lives as an outreach.
Movie guide publisher Ted Baer recently estimated that every week about 20 to 25 million Americans will go to the movies. In contrast, he notes that about 131 to 141 million people will go to church. That's seven times more people going to church than to the movies in America. Thus, there really is a large potential audience for Christian movies. And of course, every time we buy a movie ticket, we are, in a sense, voting. We are saying, in effect, yes, Hollywood, make more films like this one. And often the opening weekend determines a movie's success or failure.
Jesus used parables to tell stories, and we have the opportunity in our generation to interweave the arts with music and story through film.
The Kendrick brothers from Georgia have produced some popular Christian films like Facing the Giants, Fireproof, Courageous, and War Room, which did exceedingly well at the box office, even though it is explicitly Christian.
This is my favorite place in this house. I call it my war room.
You wrote prayers for each area of your life.
Prayer strategy.
We're so grateful for what God has been doing through War Room. After opening weekend, we were blown away that the Labor Day weekend, the next week, it became the number one movie in America. And we're thinking, we're openly presenting the gospel, and the end of the movie is a declaration of Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, most of all, we're grateful for the lives that have been changed by the film.
And the nice thing with the Kendrick brothers is they don't just make movies to make movies. They pray and pray and pray till they feel they have an inspiration for a script.
Meanwhile, the challenge for Christian filmmakers is to hone their craft and increase the quality of their storytelling without compromising the message.
Pain, pain, go away. Come again another day.
Is this some kind of prank?
Do you still believe in God?
Christians can help these movies touch more lives. Because I look at it as an outreach. I look at it as like I'm inviting people to a church service that might not come to a church. Get them to the movie theater and they hear these messages.
I've spent my entire career as a journalist until the day my wife presented me with the biggest story of my life. From that moment on, I set out to prove to her and to the rest of the world that they were wrong.
I care that they're good enough quality to be in the theater and good enough quality to get the message across. Who would you rather have? A singer with an absolutely incredible voice and zero touch from God and doesn't touch any life, or a singer with a decent voice that people's lives get touched? And that's how some of these movies are. To me, the ministry and the outreach value are the most important things. They estimate about a third of the people that went to see God's Not Dead were unchurched people. So it just shows these movies, if they do well in the theater, they can touch and change lives like we wouldn't believe.
There are many questions about the history of the earth. What major events might have occurred to shape it? Was there a global flood? A Big Bang? How did the earth become filled with so many amazing and diverse creatures?
Is Genesis history is tremendous with interviews with archaeologists, geologists, paleontologists, showing how a worldwide flood explains many of the geological foundations and things that they see out there.
I believe in change over time, but I'm not an evolutionist. The shark has the ability to change, to adapt, to respond dynamically to the environment, but there are still sharks. And when we look at the fossil record, there are still sharks.
Please, Lord, help me get one more.
Hacksaw Ridge, to me, was a tremendous epic. It had such solid, solid faith-based content in it. And he would save a soldier and kind of collapse, and God, help me save one more. Help me get one more. Help me get one more. And that's like the cry that we have to have with evangelism, you know, willing to pour ourselves out to touch more lives.
Help me get one more.
Above all, ministry leaders note that the rise of these faith-based films in our time provide us with a great opportunity for more ministry, including to those who are unchurched.
Story is crucial, and as we know, Jesus used it to tell parables, to impart truth, or sometimes to veil truth. But today, what we're doing is basically sharing visual parables in the form of motion pictures to draw people to a closer walk with God.
Hollywood presents a certain picture to us of the way things are. But even when this is done well, it only portrays a small slice of reality. Yet, there are forces at work in the world, powerful forces, that have a far greater impact on us than many realize. And these forces can only be understood if we have the spiritual eyes to see them. Now, many in the unbelieving world have vague and loosely defined notions of the spiritual realm, but they typically have no grasp of the unseen spiritual warfare everywhere around them. The Apostle Paul tells us, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Yet in that battle, we have the help of the captain of our salvation, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have the powerful protection and aid of the Holy Spirit of God. And we also have the help of his angels, which the scriptures tell us are ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation. Many have questions, many have theories, but what do you know about this unseen realm? Here's my very dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy, with a powerful new resource that will shine a light on it in a unique way. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. This new resource is the 4-DVD set and the book, Angels and Demons, God's Messengers and Their Evil Counterparts. It features 4 eye-opening messages from my father, Dr. D. James Kennedy, that open up the Bible's teachings on these supernatural creatures and how they affect your life. There is an intense interest these days in angels and demons, but so much of what you hear is based on speculation and is filled with sensationalism. This essential series of messages will give you the clear biblical truth on this fascinating subject. For a limited time, you can get this 4-DVD series of messages, plus the book, Angels and Demons, God's Messengers and Their Evil Counterparts, as our thanks when you give a generous donation of $50 or more to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. In the messages on these 4 DVDs and in the book, my father shows the nature of these forces, both angelic and demonic. He explains how angels serve as God's messengers and watch over God's elect. And he exposes Satan's methods and purposes and reveals his origin, his nature, and his limitations. The unseen realm is just as real as our visible world. Yet we're often completely ignorant about what's happening there. You need to know the role of angelic beings and satanic demons in your daily life. Some have an unhealthy preoccupation with them, while others pay no attention at all. Both of these stances are a mistake. Get the truth in a clear, easy to understand way. Contact us right away to get the 4-DVD series of messages, plus the book, Angels and Demons, God's Messengers and Their Evil Counterparts, as our thanks for your generous donation of $50 or more, or get the book alone for your generous donation of any amount. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org.
On Monday, confirmation hearings are scheduled to begin for Judge Neil Gorsuch, President Trump's nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court. Some have declared it to be merely a political event which Christians ought to stay out of. But considering that in recent decades, the Supreme Court has imposed by judicial fiat everything from abortion on demand to same-sex marriage, one can clearly see that there is an intense spiritual dimension to this nomination and to the work of this court. In fact, one of the rhetorical tricks used by the forces of secularism is to push for the ever-increasing extension of government into every area of human endeavor, including the church, and then declare those areas to be political and somehow off limits to Christian teaching and critique. But we're not going to play by the rules of that rigged game, and nor should you. That is why I say to you today, without embarrassment or reserve, that Judge Gorsuch should be confirmed to this court, and that this is something we should demand of our senators. Disrespect for the Constitution and the out-of-control Supreme Court are not partisan problems. Members of each party have had an ample hand in bringing it about. God's word is clear that we are to be subject to the authorities He's placed over us. And in the American system of government, the ultimate human authority is the Constitution of the United States. We have a duty as citizens to uphold and defend it as it has been handed down to us. Judge Gorsuch has a clear judicial philosophy which says that the Constitution is not to be overruled or rewritten by judges, and that the text of the Constitution must be taken seriously with respect to its original meaning. Dear friends, we who have received the manifold blessings of liberty from the very hand of God also hold a stewardship responsibility to protect and preserve this good gift for our children and grandchildren. And I tell you that, humanly speaking, the very future of our nation and our ability to proclaim an unfettered gospel to the world hangs in the balance. This is not a matter of personal political preference, but rather an acknowledgement of Jesus Christ's lordship over every area of life, including our constitutional republic. We are standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us on Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
The Bible says that Christ came to destroy Satan. In 1 John, it says that he came to destroy the works of the devil.
Here I am, the Lord's using me to bring the word out and try to help other people prevent them from suicide or an unnecessary gender reassignment surgery.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.